I preach in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Human beings have sensed the mystery of death and the pain of grief since time immemorial. Every society has developed rites to mark the passage from life through death and commemorate the dead. The wounds of grief need time and care to heal. Funeral services help this process by enabling us to acknowledge our loss, to give thanks for the life of the person who has died, to make our last farewell, and begin to take up life once more. So begins the funeral section of a prayer book for Australia. The Anglican prayer book from which we take all our services of prayer and worship at St. John's, right from baptism to burials, with Eucharists, daily prayers, and everything else in between. Tonight we commemorate All Souls Day, where we remember particularly people close to us who have died. Wives, husbands, parents, grandparents, children, friends. We will read their names and think of them deliberately, not just as in the natural course of daily events, but within a broader ritual filled with prayer and song, and importantly, with each other. If we were here together in the church tonight, we would light candles for each of them and for each other, and we will place photos at the front of the church for all to see. We will be able to look around and see both grief and joy etched on the faces of those around us. There is solidarity in this, knowing that in grief, either new or old, we are strangely bonded together. None of us ever immune from the mystery of death and the pain of grief, as the prayer book writes. Our service tonight first came into being in the 10th century. It is the distillation of 1,000 years of Christians praying and thinking about the dead. And this history, this practice, speaks to us at profound levels, knowing that what we do this evening has been done by our ancestors for 1,000 years, right across the world, almost, in fact, wherever Christians have gathered together. It is in this sense not random, nor individualized, nor recently invented, but an engagement in a ritual that has served countless people through countless generations. To name the dead, to name grief, to access again deliberately, purposefully, the events or grief surrounding the loss of a loved one. In this way, tonight's service, I have found, can be deeply healing. Several years ago, here in this very church, a person in their late 80s asked to speak to me quietly at the end of the service. They said that they had asked for the name of a deceased child of theirs to be included in that night's commemoration of All Souls, like we shall do this evening. The child had died as a newborn more than 60 years before, and no funeral or burial service had taken place, as was the custom of the time. That All Souls Day service was the very first time that this child's name had been read aloud in a public space. And in doing so, it acknowledged a lifetime of grief that was never named. And for many of this person's closest friends and even family, never even known. Yet for 60 years, that person had held that child and its name in their heart and in their prayers. And on a night like this, ritual allowed for a lifetime of grief and pain to be acknowledged, a name to be read, a life remembered. And the person's relief was palpable. It is thought that the first service of All Souls' Day took place at the monastery in Cluny, France, in the year 993, where a service of prayer, particularly for the dead, took place. And it was attached to almsgiving for the poor, to give life, as it were, in the midst of death. The tradition of Christians praying for the dead stretches way back before then, however, right back to the catacombs of Rome itself. Their inscriptions and prayers to the dead remain from the 2nd century. Tertullian, Cyprian, and the Western Fathers prayed for the dead. And before them, the writer of 2 Maccabees, a deuterocanonical book, which means between the Old and the New Testaments, urged prayer for the dead around 200 years before Christ. All of that is to say, to reiterate what I said at the beginning, that rituals and rites surrounding the dead are found in every human community and stretch back millennia. In the times we live in, however, this might appear somewhat strange. Just last week, I described tonight's service to someone who had not heard of it. They were mystified by it, and they said that they thought it was a little creepy, their words, not mine, to think of the dead. And this is perhaps not surprising, given that culturally we live in a world where we're at the high water mark of death denial, where even the word death is transcribed into something else, something less final, perhaps less shocking. People pass away, or they go to sleep. Months ago, someone called to arrange a funeral service here with me, and they said that the deceased had moved on. It took me a while to realise that they were not describing moving from Toorak to Glen Iris, but moving from life to death. This is a long way from a century ago, where when someone died, families kept the deceased at home, often until burial, and even had people over to mourn and to celebrate. Indeed, the whole custom of giving flowers at the time of death comes from this practice, so that a house was filled with perfume while the dead lay amidst the living. There is, I think, something healthy about this. We are, after all, going to die, and to deny that fact, to avoid it or sugarcoat it, is really profoundly strange. One should not be morose or obsessed by this fact, but I think rather enlivened by it, invigorated too, as our prayer book puts it, to use aright the time that is left to each of us. For Christians, death is and should be part of our daily reflection and our existence. We live and die by and in the grace of God. We're given life in all its fullness as gift from a loving Creator whose heart beats with such generosity that we and all creation are given life in all of its splendour, unconditionally, with the only command to be people of love for God, for each other, and for our creation, in thanksgiving for the divine love that brought us into being. And furthermore, the great Easter story, that wonderful resurrection of Christ from the dead, lays ahead of every one of us life anew in God. And not just ourselves, but also all those who have died across time immemorial. Nothing, we heard St. Paul write this evening, can separate us from the love of God, neither death nor life. And he is right. We are God's, right from the start to the endless end. Therefore, while there is often sadness and mourning on All Saints' Day, as is right and proper, there should also be an undercurrent of thanksgiving, of hopefulness and comfort. The souls we pray for this evening are God's, just as we are God's. And in that way, we are one, just divided from each other by mortality and time, which will, of course, come to an end for all of us. And we shall be reunited beyond time with each other and with God. The prayers of the faithful for the dead have for centuries known the following to be true: that living or departed, we are God's and always have life in God. As we name the dead tonight and pray for them and remember them and mourn them and celebrate them, let us, yes, mourn, but let us also rejoice. For the things of this life endlessly run into the life of the next, a resurrected and eternal life in the presence of Christ and all souls.